welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling podcast. We're here on the SummerSlam Fallout episode of the show. And because it's a special show, I have a very special guest, very near and dear to my heart, is my father, Richard Black.
Hey, how are you, brother? Oh, no, son.
Visiting all the way from the home of Mick Foley and Zack Ryder, Long Island, New York.
That's right.
Yeah.
And McDonald's.
And McDonald's. There are a lot of McDonald's.
And Dunkin' Donuts. You don't have any Dunkin' Donuts out here.
We there's a couple. They just opened one up in Atwater Village.
I don't know. But we have on every corner. We have competing Dunkin' Donuts on every corner.
Yeah, there's New York is chock full of, well, isn't that chock full of Dunkin' Donuts? Are you in LA? Are you missing the Dunkin' Donuts?
I'm missing it. Yes.
I just got you a Stumptown coffee. That's like the expensive coffee.
I'm telling you, this is a UCB special.
Yeah, you don't like it as much as a nice, cheap $1.50 Dunkin'?
No, it's better than Dunkin'. Dunkin's not good. It's just convenient.
Right. But I feel like you miss it. You've mentioned Dunkin' like 10 times on this trip.
That's true. Well, I miss it. You know, it's convenient crap.
Yeah. Speaking of convenient crap, let's get into professional wrestling.
There you go.
Let's give some context here. My parents are visiting this week. They told me, hey, my mom calls me. She's like, Daniel, me and your father, we're coming to visit around my birthday, August 20th to August, 26th or whatever. I look at my schedule. I'm like, hey, that sounds good. Yeah, come that time. Not realizing that that's SummerSlam weekend, which now means that SummerSlam, you got SummerSlam, that means you got now NXT TakeOver on Saturday. SummerSlam's on Sunday. Then there was also the UFC fight, Conor McGregor fight on Saturday. Then Monday I got Raw, Tuesday I got SmackDown, Wednesday I got Cruiserweight Classic. My parents go to sleep, I'm sitting there watching it on my iPad, trying to stay up, drinking coffee to consume all of this wrestling for you, for the fans, for the cowboys and girls. Comedians of Wrestling. I call them cowboys and cowgirls because of cow. The Comedians of Wrestling.
Oh, yippee, I hope.
Yeah, yippee, I. So my parents are here, and I'm trying to sneak in watching wrestling, and there's so much has happened. So my dad, like, since the Attitude Era, you'll watch wrestling with me, even though you don't like wrestling that much. How do you feel about professional wrestling?
I like the theatrics. That's my favorite part. The fighting,
too.
The silly stuff. The wrestling is, the matches this weekend were very good to watch.
Yeah. Yeah, so wrestling has been, so we watched a lot. Before we get into SummerSlam, though, let's get into, you watched wrestling as a kid, right?
I did. What? Bruno Sammartino.
Yeah, anytime we turn on professional wrestling, you mentioned Bruno Sammartino. You got The Rock on the screen, you go, hey, he's no Bruno Sammartino. You got Brock Lesnar on the screen, he's no Bruno Sammartino. What's your relationship with Bruno Sammartino?
Well, I used to go to Island Garden Arena in Long Island.
Yeah.
And as a kid, and see Bruno Sammartino. He was the man. He was it. He was your Rock. He was,
Is he as good as The Rock?
He'd fight Gorilla Monsoon.
Yeah.
That was the big match. Those were the big villains.
Yeah.
And Gorilla Monsoon would talk, dude, I'm going to get you. And, until he retired and he'd say, hello, this is Gorilla Monsoon. Kind of like blew my mind. But, I took my first pictures as a photographer.
Because you're a photographer. So you said you got into photography because of professional wrestling. You've said that to me before.
Those were the first pictures, basically, I took. They were like, I think they were Polaroid. Well, the pictures were like Polaroid-ish. They were black and white.
Right. Of Bruno Sammartino
and Apollo and Haystacks Calhoun and all those guys.
Oh, you're digging deep.
Yeah, well, those are the ones I remember, but there were much more.
Do you think that, I don't know, people of a certain generation love to be like, all right, my generation is the best. My generation of this is the best. My generation of this. Wrestling. Do you think your generation of wrestling is better than what's happening now?
Absolutely not.
No.
It's much better now.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
You're right.
Oh, come on. You can't compare. But everything was like
that. No, I know. It's way better now. But that's why, like, I get excited to show it to you because, so we watched during the Attitude Era, which is the Rock, Stone Cold time. When I was in high school, I was watching Raw, and you'd come and watch it with me. And even then, you always had this attitude like, ah, it's stupid. But then you don't leave the room. You know what I mean? You go like, I don't, this is dumb. And then but you stick around. And then The Rock would come on, and I'd see you get excited for The Rock.
The Rock changed it.
Right.
I think he changed it for a lot of people. And that's, you know, looking, I mean, I'm not a wrestling nut like you now. But looking at it, when he came into the scene, it changed. The interest level was unbelievable. Even your mother was going. She loved The Rock. He was
right.
Handsome and charismatic, and
you still know. Love The Rock. You guys watch San Andreas just for The Rock.
That's
right?
Well, he can do anything. That man.
Yeah,
he can do anything. But when he left, wrestling took a dive, and I thought it was over. Actually, I didn't. I'm not. You know, I'm on the outside looking. I thought it was over, and it did have a dip.
It definitely did. It had the ruthless aggression era. And not only that, I stopped watching also for a time. I mean, we take most wrestling fans take, you know, they get going lulls. But definitely after The Rock left and then Stone Cold, it was like, what am I going to watch, you know? But wrestling takes those dives. But then now I've kind of pushed you back into watching it. Not regularly, but when we see each other.
Well, there's new, you know, that's life. That,
right.
You know, there's new people that take place of old people. I mean, there are people that I, you know, even comedians that I grew up, that I loved. You don't even know who they are.
I know all they are. Rodney Dangerfield.
Well, yeah, those kinds of people, they're done. But some people don't know who they were, and these were giants.
Right.
So that's the way of life.
That is the way of life. Right.
The next generation comes in, you embrace it. It's cool.
It is cool. But so you're watching now. What's your feeling when you're watching the current wrestling product as somebody who watched Bruno Sammartino days, who came to... Actually, you also took me in 1991 to Nassau Coliseum. We watched my first wrestling memory, conscious memory, is sitting like in the last row at Nassau Coliseum, which is now being demolished, right? And
they're doing it over.
Yeah, they're doing it over. But... was watching Undertaker zip Ultimate Warrior into the body bag with Paul Bearer there. And I was taking pictures. You gave me the disposable camera. And I sat there waiting for you to get them developed. And you had the store at the time. And you would develop for me fast. Like, I got the pictures faster than other people would get pictures developed.
Did you get those pictures?
Eventually I got them. Do you have them? I have. They're in my drawer in the house you used to live in, my childhood house. The first drawer in my bedroom. There's a little photo album, a brown photo album, and it's got Hacksaw Jim Duggan versus some guy in a mask, some jobber in a mask. And then it has a battle royale. I Googled it recently to figure out what that event was, because I was like, it had a Royal Rumble in it, but it wasn't the Royal Rumble. It was like a live show where they did a Rumble.
They have to develop that marketing thing.
Yeah. But Bushwhackers.
Talking about the Undertaker.
Yeah.
Originally what he was unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, he would like rise from the dead after they beat him up. He doesn't do that anymore. He's just like one of the guys almost.
Yeah. Well,
right?
He kind of went back to, you haven't seen him recently, but he kind of went back to being a little bit of like a sorcerer. But he would bury his
victim in a casket. Literally bury his victim.
Yeah, he would.
And he had that little man, Paul Bearer, who was...
Yeah, passed away. Yeah, he was great.
He was, you know, you had... That was great, too.
Yeah.
That was very interesting.
I was obsessed with the Ultimate Warrior at that time.
You were.
He was so cool.
That was your thing.
Yeah. So, anyway, Ultimate Warrior... So we watched then. You watched as a kid, then you... In like the 90s, when I was a kid, you were watching with me, and then... Attitude, are you watching now? You watch the current product, and you said that you enjoy the wrestling, it's way better. You said
everything's better. I think they even wrestle better.
They do.
I think they're in better shape. I think the old guys were just big tubs.
Yeah,
who got in and smacked each other, and everybody. Oh, let's see who gets hurt, and then they'd have the phony blood, and everybody. I don't think they cut themselves like they.
Yeah. Well, because now we're in this era. It's interesting you say that, because now we're in this era called like the new era, and where independent wrestling is taking over. It's bleeding into the WWE product, which was normally a style of getting a bodybuilder, teaching him how to wrestle, and who cares if he's good. It's all about it looking good, and then they teach him how to get on the microphone. But now you have guys who are just like independent wrestlers, like guys like, you know, like UCB guys almost, who are like doing performing at the UCB theater, and then those are the guys who are becoming the main guys. And some of them are smaller. They're not jacked up. And the wrestling's really good. So that's why I'm interested in your view.
You truly have a minor league now.
Right.
Which is very interesting. Yeah. You turned me on. I didn't even know about that.
The NXT. Yeah.
That was extremely interesting how they have their own developmental leagues, so to speak, to actually train wrestlers. What you told me, they it's mainly in Florida now?
Yeah, well, they opened up the WWE Performance Center at Full Sail University.
I thought that was brilliant marketing. The only thing I don't like.
We're about to shoot.
No, I don't like that the WWE, I guess that's the McMahon Empire, has bought up all those other wrestling.
Like WCW.
Yeah, which was so interesting.
And ECW. And remember, ECW, you still do the Simon Diamond. You do that sometimes. See, you're affected by wrestling, where you hold your chin, and you hold your elbow, and then you open your mouth, and you go, yeah.
Well, they had fun stuff, because they had nothing to lose.
Yeah.
Right? When you're the underdog, so to speak, you have nothing to lose.
Yeah.
So you can do anything. What are you going to, if you do that, during WWE, with all that money on the line,
right,
and you act that way, it might affect your product, but when you're the underdog, people kind of like relate to that.
Yeah. I mean, there's some cool competition stuff now, but they're nowhere near the size of WCW, where Ted Turner like threw his money into wrestling. He's like, I'm getting into wrestling. And he like bought Hulk Hogan, and he bought Bret Hart, and he bought all these wrestlers. Anyway, yeah. So let's make sure let's get into SummerSlam. So you watched a lot of SummerSlam with me, and I forced you to watch NXT TakeOver with me. That was what we watched Saturday night before the UFC
fight. And surprisingly entertaining.
The NXT show?
Yes.
Yeah. You dug it.
I dug it. I just kind of thought that they were like truly minor leagues. I mean, those guys were kind of undersized compared to the majors.
Yeah.
Compared to, well, everybody's undersized compared to that Lesnar guy.
Brock Lesnar.
Lesnar.
Yeah. Mean, and Shinsuke Nakamura, he won the title.
Yeah, that guy is like, you could sneeze. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm screwed up here. You could sneeze and the guy will fall down. He's a little guy. I mean, he's the champion. That's not very believable. But.
What do you think about him versus Brock Lesnar? What would that look like?
It's happened,
actually.
Has it?
It happened in a Hawaii show, but I haven't seen it.
And the guy's alive?
Yeah. I know. Yeah, so let's get Brock Lesnar. Let's get into SummerSlam. Let's talk about the biggest thing that happened, which is Brock Lesnar just cracked open Randy Orton. They had this match where, I mean, at first watch, I didn't realize that was real blood. And then I was like, oh wow, that match ended weird.
I wonder if Brock Lesnar knew it was real blood.
He did.
Because he kept on hitting him. If he did, he's a creep.
From what I'm reading, and it seems to be hazy, and I also never think that we truly know the truth, even though there's like the internet and dirt sheets and all kinds of spies on the inside of the product. Brock Lesnar, it sounds like it went pretty close to according to plan. Like Brock Lesnar was supposed to old-fashioned give Randy Orton one punch to the head that opens him up. Like he was... They didn't want a blade or anything, so they wanted him to ground and pound. Like, Lesnar was supposed to take off his gloves and hit him in the head. But I don't think they expected him to bleed and open up the way he did. And Randy Orton's an older guy at this point for a wrestler, so he's got a lot of scar tissue in his head. So he opened up, like, fast. I mean, Zay, you should check it out. Like, he starts bleeding all over the mat. That's, like, a lot of blood. It looked like a quart of blood.
But in all fairness, any head wound... bleeds like crazy, and it's not particularly dangerous.
Yeah.
So,
that's why they blade.
People should know that. I had a car accident years ago, and I cut my forehead, and I bled like crazy.
Yeah.
And
you still see your scar on your head.
Yeah, scar is one thing, but it's not. Your skull is very strong.
Yeah.
So That is, but I just wonder, I mean, he kept on hitting him. Guy's down. You got the paramedics practically in there with the gloves. You get it. They're wearing gloves.
Yeah, no, I know.
And he's smacking them, and they would go to fix him, and then he'd come back, and you know, the paramedics didn't know what to do. It was really, it was really weird looking.
Well, they didn't know how to end it because they're like, all right, well, this match is still going. All right, let's call it. I think that was the finish. It was supposed to happen. A lot of people thought they threw Shane out there to give him an F5 just to end SummerSlam, but it was weird because...
No, I think he came out to try to get Lesnar to leave him alone.
Okay, so you believe that, right?
Yes.
You believe that. That is why wrestling is so awesome.
However, he did pick him up and do whatever he does and knock him out. I would have
F5.
I've told you. I would have liked to see 3 or 4 wrestlers come and, you know, hold Lesnar back.
Yeah. But I think other wrestlers are legitimately scared to get near him. Because Brock Lesnar is like, he hits too hard. He forget the rumor is he forgets he's on UFC or he's at the wrestling. He's doing both. So he's hitting these guys. I mean, Brock Lesnar is able, when wrestling feels real, it's the best form of entertainment out there. That's what I believe. Even as a comedian, I think when wrestling gets there, it's amazing when it feels like a shoot and feels real. Brock Lesnar, I'm like not even sure, like, the fact that I watched him punch Randy Orton. There's a video in slow-mo with isolated audio. He cracks him. It sounds like Derek Jeter hitting a home run. Like, it sounds like the ball hitting the bat. I don't know how he's crazy. So the match felt like it ended pretty anticlimactic because it was like, all right, they ring the bell, gave the F5, and it was like, oh, SummerSlam's over with no real... I mean, he's a definitive winner, but it was like, didn't feel like theatrically done. And I bet if I was sitting in the seats and I had friends who were there, it felt like, oh, this just kind of ended because you can't see it as much. But when you think back, that's a memorable moment. Brock Lesnar made a guy's head bleed open. A guy who people thought was going to win, and he decimated him. Now, the other interesting thing about wrestling is that Randy Orton walks away with his head cracked open. He lost, so it's like, oh, he's a loser. No, Randy Orton gained, like, so much respect. People think he's the man for letting Brock Lesnar pummel him like that. I don't know. Also, like, Brock Lesnar had those moments where Randy Orton's bleeding, they're tending to him. He comes and hits him again. And you're like, is he supposed to do that? It seems so unsafe.
I think they'd be better off. I mean, I'm going to be controversial here.
Yeah.
I think they'd be better off without Brock Lesnar at this point.
Wow. Why do you say that?
Because he's so much better than all the other guys. I mean, I always say that to you. I said, who's going to beat that? Realistically, if it's real, who would beat him? Nobody.
Yeah. Oh, my God. You know, Paul Heyman, you know, you love Paul Heyman, right?
Yeah.
From ECW. You love him. And Paul Heyman, he put it like this. He goes, yeah, Randy Orton, he's good. He's the best surfer at the beach. Brock Lesnar is a shark. He's like, he's the best surfer at the beach. He rides all the waves. He can do everything. He's great. But Brock Lesnar, he's going to eat you from inside the water. I don't know. Brock Lesnar is so interesting. I mean, they're going to be punishment on him. Just watch him. I feel bad for anyone who's not paying attention to Brock Lesnar. I think he's more important than the presidential race. You got to see a guy like this. They come around once every... How often do you think there are any other people capable of what this guy's capable of that look like this? He's got everything. He wears every crown. He looks like that. He's actually super athletic. He's a real piece of shit in real life in a way where he has no regard for other people, where he says it. He says it and he means it. Man.
And he speaks well.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't have to speak.
I would have thought, like, oh, that guy can't speak.
Right.
He's just a drone.
Right.
But he speaks well.
All right. So
it means he...
I hope Randy Orton's okay as well.
He'll be fine.
Right.
That's just a surfer. You know, it just got a heel.
A surfer. He got a shark bite.
All
right. So, all right. Let's move on to, because we got for time. Another controversy. I think the network was messing with the audio levels when we were watching of the crowd. I think they're starting to get really good at WB, starting to get good at muting the crowd and, like, messing with their audio. Zay, you're an audio guy. How easy is it to do that? Like, if you're miking up a crowd and just turn their mics off for the live audience?
I think it's pretty easy. I've done that for some shows and stuff.
Yeah, when they're booing?
Well, it's like there's nothing really happening, so, like, you try to make the stage sound bigger than the audience. The audience is silent.
Right. because like so the so controversial. They brought up they unveiled the new WWE Universal title. So Richie, what happens? They split Raw and SmackDown. So there's gonna be titles on both. So you're saying the competition thing? WWE's plan for competition is to compete with themselves. They have two shows that rival each other, have separate belts. It's smart. You know what I mean? It's like when it's two smart. Hotels compete with each other in Vegas, but they have the same parent company.
It's smart, but they blew it in a sense. Right. I mean, the McMahons bought the other companies and then combined them. He would have been better off to keep them. Then he'd have exactly what they're trying to create now. He already have it.
Yeah, I agree. They did that for a little bit, but at this point, I do agree. It's like if I'm trying to think of an example of two. What are two competing businesses? It's like if McDonald's bought Burger King and then they just turned Burger King into a McDonald's, then you lose the fact that they have a monopoly over the all the options.
Well, didn't Walgreens buy
Dwayne Reed?
Yeah.
But that's the L.A. people don't know what Dwayne Reed is. That's super New York.
Well, but one drugstore buys the other drugstore, and they're both next to each other.
Yeah.
What is that?
I don't know what
that's kind of like what Vince
Donuts.
McMahon did. That's what Vince McMahon's doing.
What about if Starbucks bought Dunkin' Donuts, and they turned it into Starbucks? How would you feel? They turned it into red Starbucks. There's a red Starbucks, and then there's the blue Starbucks. Which one? Would you care? They serve the same exact product?
No.
No.
I wouldn't care. Well, the consumer doesn't give a crap.
Yeah. Anyway, so they unveiled this title. The crowd was booing this title because it's a red leather title. So you can look it up, the WWE Universal title. You saw it. How do you feel about the way that title looks? Richie.
I'm trying to think of a politically correct term for it.
I was going to say.
It's pretty awful.
What don't you like about it? You're an artistic guy. You're
red.
A photographer.
It's all red.
Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah.
It should
be
gold, shouldn't it? Or silk. You know, it should be chromey. Yes. Should glisten.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. People are getting caught up on the fact that it's red, I think. Jason Shapiro mentioned something to me, friend of the show.
Hey, Jason.
Yeah, that's my dad. You know, this is your second father, Richie Black. He was like, "Oh, the championship should have like a hunk of metal, a hunk of gold." I agree. It's all leather, so I don't care if the red was an accent color. I could get past that, but instead, it just comes off as only red leather.
Well, the red inside, maybe I could live with it, but not the red belt itself.
Right,
that should be black.
Yeah, it was black. They changed it because now they have a red one, and then I guess the other one's staying black, but I don't know.
Well, I guess they
have too many titles. Too many titles.
It's about money, so, and it's about creating interest, and that's how you do it. But like I said, they had the interest already with the WCW and all that, and they just...
Finn Balor wins the WWE Universal title. Finn Balor is... Look. The verdict's out on Finn Balor. He came out, he won. I've been saying for a long time, this is the way to debut Finn. He's long overdue to be brought up. He's a guy who's not young. He's very popular. He's a merch fiend. He's like full of merch. He's Donnie merch. And bring him up. He wins. I got no problem with him winning, even though I'm not the biggest fan of Finn. I don't like him on the microphone. I like his gorgeous look. I said it, I'd club a baby seal to have his face and eyes. He's a gorgeous man. And he's got a terrific physique, abs of steel, beautiful. But I don't like him on the mic. I don't like his wrestling moves. I don't think he's an exciting wrestler, especially compared to Seth Rollins. Richie, you felt similar watching Finn Balor. You don't, maybe not remember, but during the match, you were not sold on him that much.
And who the guy who was painted wrestling?
Up, the Demon.
Who did he beat?
He was wrestling Seth Rollins.
Well, Seth Rollins is a cool looking dude.
Yeah, Seth. So
he looks like a wrestler.
Yeah.
If I had a photograph of a wrestler, it would be like a Seth Rollins. He's got the hair and the beard and the length, you know, the height,
yeah,
and the build, and he's got, to me, that's like,
yeah. So Seth Rollins. So now we get into something here. I agree. I mean, Seth Rollins is my favorite wrestler in the company. Like, he's amazing. At WrestleMania 31, he interrupted the final match and he won. He had a contract that said he could, and he came in and he won the title. He's amazing. Anyway, so he's they had that match. So Finn, I understand pushing Finn, push him to the moon. But Finn got injured during that match. During that match, we were talking. During that match, Seth Rollins threw Finn against the wall. And now his shoulder is all messed up. He has a torn labia. I don't know. It sounded like that. A lamento. He's got a torn lamento or something. Something I never heard of.
Lamento?
Yeah, he's got a torn lamento. And remember what I said to you when I threw him against there? I said, that's the stuff that hurts guys. And you said, it doesn't hurt. He threw him against padding.
Well, no, I was talking about his neck. No, I didn't even see the arm.
Yeah.
The arm got hyperextended.
But wasn't that weird?
Basically, that's the injury probably is a hyperextension.
Yeah, it looked because he put his shoulder over there. So now he had to relinquish the title, and he's no longer the champion on Raw.
I don't think that's what they had in mind.
That he would relinquish it?
I look at it totally different. I think they have to, like, give people turns to be champions.
Yeah, they do, but this is the new Universal title they made him the champ. He's hurt.
That's what I told them. Seth Rollins would have a rematch, but now that's screwed up.
Yeah, so now they set up on Raw that they're going to have a fatal four-way next week to determine who is the champion. And it's Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, Kevin Owens, and Big Cass. They should just give it to Rollins. Just give Rollins a title. He's the guy who needs to walk around looking wearing the strap, especially for someone like my dad, the casual fan. We need a guy. It's a new title. It needs to be legitimate, especially if people don't like what the title looks like. Even though Rollins defends it with amazing heel work. When he came out on Monday and he goes, the beautiful looking title. And then I even like his tweet where he just gave shit, even though it was serious. He tweeted out giving the Brooklyn crowd shit. He goes, I'm disappointed in you. It's about the men fighting for the title, not the title. That is so heel because he's one of the guys there. That's not being humble or not. He's being like, cheer me. Don't worry about what the title looks like. I'm great. It's so, he's such a heel off the, even when he's off the, you know, when he's not being Seth Rollins, when he's being Cody Lopez.
I like him.
Kobe Lopez.
I like that he gave the Brooklyn crowd shit because I have no use for the Brooklyn crowd.
Richie, the Long Islander. I'm a
MSG guy. Madison Square Garden. Brooklyn does not exist to me. The teams don't exist.
It's true. My childhood, we never went to Brooklyn ever. Maybe never. Maybe never.
Nobody. There's the Nets. The Brooklyn Nets. Yeah. Right? There's the New York Knicks. Right. The Brooklyn. They tried so hard to compete.
Yeah.
Nobody cares. We're all Knicks. 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 We die. Live and die. Knicks.
I love the Knicks.
Nobody cares about the Brooklyn team.
Cool black jerseys, and no one cares. We like
nobody
the nice
cares.
Old school. John Starks. Patrick.
Even
Ewing.
When they were better than them, now they're not better than them.
Yeah.
Nobody cares. So, if they don't play, they don't have the match.
Say it like a wrestler. Okay, say this. You're gonna say this mean like a wrestler,
brother.
Shoot, yeah, cut a promo on the Brooklyn Nets.
That's the way it is, brother. It's MSG or nothing, brother.
Let me tell you something, dude.
Here he goes.
We're going down to Brooklyn, and we're stomping you into the ground because MSG, Midtown, 34th Street, 8th Avenue, that's where the best hot dogs are. That's where the best coffee is. You know how many Dunkin' Donuts they got in MSG? Anyway, yeah, great. So, yeah, actually, they should give that belt to Rollins. I feel bad for Finn. Seems to be all these NXT guys, they come up, they get injured right away.
Well,
and so this brings up the next thing, which is, look, I'm the biggest Seth Rollins mark in the world. Anyone who listens to this podcast knows it. Seth Rollins has had three big injuries. He broke John Cena's nose with that knee. He ended Sting's career. He broke his neck with the same move that broke Finn Balor's shoulder. One was against a turnbuckle. One was against a guard wall. Bret Hart was vocal. I would never think about this stuff, but Bret Hart was vocal about Seth Rollins wrestling, saying that he's hurting too many guys. It's worth bringing up. I mean, he you know, then I always look for a way to defend Seth Rollins, and my buddy Arlen brought up this awesome point, which is that, like, these other guys are too small. Seth Rollins is a big wrestler. And you want to be a heavyweight guy, you got to be able to take hits from a guy like Seth Rollins.
Well, has he fought Brock Lesnar?
He has.
And?
It hasn't gone well for him.
Well, like I said, Brock Lesnar disappears. Seth Rollins is the rule.
Yeah. Seth Rollins and Brock Lesnar have a very they have an interesting background of Seth Rollins basically running away from Brock Lesnar whenever he can. Anyway, so that just in the interest of time, we have to move into the best match of SummerSlam, which was what match? Do you remember, Richie?
The best match of the Lesnar match? What do you
John
think?
Cena versus Cena AJ match. Styles.
Oh, that was the best
match. That match was dope. It was dope. And look, AJ Styles is being rewarded for being amazing. He's great on the microphone. And they did it. What we talked about in here, they gave him a clean win over Big John Cena. And the storytelling in that match was amazing. The moves were amazing. AJ Styles, man, there's so many wrestlers people love that are so over, and maybe we'll get into it today. I don't know. Time feels like it's dwindling. But every time I go, like, there's a wrestler I don't like that everyone loves, I look at AJ Styles and I go, no, I'm right. AJ Styles, that's good wrestling. Every wrestler needs to wrestle like him. He's amazing. He's amazing on the microphone. They had that awesome moment where John Cena put over, props to John Cena. He's another guy. Watch him. I've been saying it. Watch him. If you're not watching John Cena, I feel bad for you. He's not going to be here that much longer. He's amazing. He's an incredible wrestler. He gets over any other wrestler. He works his ass off. He looks amazing. He's the face that runs the place. John Cena's dope. Anyway, John Cena had that amazing moment where he gave AJ Styles like so many attitude adjustments, and AJ Styles was still kicking out. And John had that moment where he stood there perplexed, the camera on his face, and he's just like, I can't beat this guy. He's just like, this guy is awesome. And for John Cena to do that for AJ Styles is massive. It was awesome. It made it like, oh, wow. AJ Styles arrived at SummerSlam officially. AJ Styles is a top-tier wrestler in this company. He is one of their biggest talents, and I hope they recognize that and treat him as such. And it seems that they are. They let him beat John Cena clean. And now he's being rewarded with a title shot against Dean Ambrose. And it's awesome. Richie, how'd you feel about watching AJ Styles wrestle? Do you remember any of his stuff?
He never quits.
No.
Cena was like trying to kill him. And he never quits. And Cena had that look in his eyes. They zoomed in. Yeah. Good camera work, by the way.
Yeah.
Zoomed in on Cena and he's going, oh. Richard Black. Yeah. And he had that face like, what do I got to do to beat this guy? What the heck?
Yeah, the perplexed moment right. I wrote in my notes. Perplexed.
Perplexed. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Perplexed.
I mean, let's just watch that match. I thought it was so good. And AJ Styles does everything. He does springboard moves. He's known as like a springboard wrestler. He does flips off the ropes. He also is strong as shit. He had John Cena up on his shoulders. He's powerful. That Styles Clash move, dope. Phenomenal forearm. Is like, he looks like Michael Jordan in the air. I don't care what Enzo and Cass, who opened up SummerSlam, make me puke in a bucket as a New Yorker. They came out wearing the Yankees jersey, disgracing the. Ugh, man, I know they're over. People like them, and maybe I'll come back around on them. I liked them in NXT. They came out. They were like doing Mad Libs of B.I.G. quotes. I mean, that was gross. That was bad writing. It was all cheap heat. I was disappointed in those guys the way they opened SummerSlam. The writing has to be better than that. And also, I felt like the crowd, like, yeah, they popped for it a little bit, but they even then, the smarky Brooklyn crowd felt pandered to. It's all pandering. I was not
MSG.
A fan of it.
MSG?
Yeah. But they
MSG.
Did a whole Michael Jordan bit. Don't forget, Enzo, forget the Michael Jordan pose, please. The Michael Jordan pose is the phenomenal forearm. Write that down. The Michael Jordan pose is the phenomenal forearm. I'm going to take a picture of that. We're gonna make a logo. Zeke, we're going to make a logo of AJ Styles and the phenomenal forearm pose as that. And we're going to make a shoe line. We're going to make gloves. We're going to make all the gear. And we're going to merch out to AJ Styles. I got to purchase an AJ Styles shirt ASAP. Dad, you want to buy me one?
Absolutely.
Okay, great. All right. Okay, what else happened in SummerSlam we're getting into? Well, all right, so what did you think of the female match, Sasha versus Charlotte?
Actually, it was quite good. I traditionally don't like the girl wrestlers because they don't really wrestle.
Yeah, they didn't.
And they have upped the game, these girls.
Yeah.
And there's no reason not to because, American girls dominate the world, so it's logical. It's going to happen.
USA, baby.
Well, those girls, you know, those are tremendous. Well, imagine if you get some of those. Imagine if you get some of those gymnasts that won the gold.
Yeah.
They become wrestlers.
That'd be awesome.
I mean, they're, you know, or the swimmer, they're animals.
Yeah.
They could.
Well, Ronda Rousey, she'll be a wrestler at some point. No question. She loves it. Yeah, she sits front row at WrestleMania and stuff. She'll definitely wrestle.
She'll
when
do
she's
it.
Allowed.
She can take a hit for a little bit.
Yeah, she's awesome. And she did a spot in WrestleMania 31. All right. Let's talk about this Charlotte Sasha match. I watched it and I really liked it. I thought it was. We watched it. We really enjoyed it. I feel like I love Sasha and Charlotte. I sat front row at NXT San Jose and watched them wrestle, and I was like blown away. I remember I said, Sasha, I screamed at her, and then she's like, don't touch me. And I didn't even put my hands even near her. And I just always respected her, that character work, because like nobody saw it. It wasn't on the camera at all. It was her just doing kayfabe shit to me. So the take of this match is something I didn't actually think about during the match, but I'm not sure why. Maybe I was so wrapped up in the moment. But, like, people think Sasha's wrestling is too dangerous, that she's gonna hurt herself too bad. And I agree. She's doing stuff that is, when I rewatched, she's going to die in the wrestling ring at this pace. She took that razor's edge into a Hurricane Rana off the top rope from Charlotte. And, like, she looked like she's going to land on her head. Then she had on Raw the other night, she had the thing where she did a baseball dive, you know, through the ropes, and she overshot it. I don't know. She only wrestles at one speed is the rumor. It's, like, similar to Daniel Bryan. But, like, I don't know. I think people are getting uncomfortable. She's falling on her head a lot. And now she dropped the title, and the rumor is that they dropped the title because now she's going to be off TV. She's booked on a September 30th live event or something. She's going to be gone for at least a month to fix up some injuries. I don't know. I think people's take is that, like, is this the only way to get female wrestling over by them killing themselves? And people are like, no. I didn't see it like that, but I do understand those points. I think that is valid, is that we can't – it's unfair if it's just like, oh, well, the only way the women get pop is if they are almost dying in the ring. You know what I mean? Like,
well, she probably had hurt her neck.
Yeah.
Undoubtedly. But that other girl, Charlotte,
yeah,
is an animal.
Yeah.
That is a true wrestler.
Yeah, she's amazing.
I mean, she's good as the men.
She really is.
She could probably wrestle men.
She can. I mean, China did do it. I think they're trying to build up the women's division, but that's why she's like, you know, she's the champion. They put the belt back on her.
How big is she? How tall is she?
She's like at least 6 feet.
I mean, she's
probably exactly 6 foot. Yeah, she's. I mean, she blows me away. She's also incredibly good on the microphone. On Raw, they introduced Bayley. She's now on Raw, which is great. I love Bayley. My quick tip for Bayley is just they have to keep her face, which obviously they'll do. That's like not even worth discussion. That's her whole gimmick, is that she like gives people hugs, she can give like evil hugs, like heel hugs. I don't know. She put like spikes on her hands or something. She gives handshakes with, like, a buzzer, like the Joker. I don't know. But is that, like, I like her sincerity. She's going to be the wrestler who's not a big character. She comes out in classic, like, Macho Man gear, and she's just going to be like, I just want to win. And she did exactly that. She came out and said, Charlotte, I'm not here to upstage you. I'm here to wrestle you. And just have her be a super powerful wrestler in the ring. And she'll work. People will respond to her authenticity. Same way Austin is, like, kind of that asshole that he played, and Brock's like the asshole he plays. If Bayley is that nice person, as long as she doesn't get busted on the weekend for like crack or something, or like whatever, then I think it'll get over. Even though people knock her mic work. Anyway, Charlotte just cut a great heel promo. It was awesome. She's like, there's a reason you didn't come up. Charlotte is. I only have great things to say about her. She's fantastic. She has the flair blood running through her veins. There's no question.
Well, the girls can be nicer.
To each other?
To each other than the guys.
Wait, what are you saying?
I mean, they seem to be like they hug and it just.
Yeah.
It's a little different. And that should be different. That's fine.
Yeah. But, all right. Some of the other stuff at SummerSlam, we don't really get it. I covered most of the stuff that really mattered, I think. I mean, the Ziggler-Ambrose match was not good. It wasn't a great match. I blame Ambrose. I mean, Ziggler's awesome. Ziggler's great. He had an awesome match on SmackDown with AJ Styles. He has pretty much always awesome matches. And Ambrose had a bad match at SummerSlam, had a bad match at Mania. He blamed Lesnar, which was like, now you're looking back at it. He's blamed Lesnar for his match at Mania. He blamed, and he didn't blame Ziggler, but it's like, I don't know. Who's the constant in the equation of these bad matches? It's the guy in jeggings. So Gene Ambrose, or as Jason Jabiro calls him, Dean Ambrose. Yeah, I don't know. I don't really have anything to say. I've never been a big fan of his. I mean, I understand why he's the champion. He was dope in the Shield. His in-ring work doesn't work for me, and that kind of brings me into the next thing I want to talk about. Well, how'd you feel about Dean Ambrose, Richie?
Well, I felt bad for Ziggler because you can only be as good as your, partner.
Right. It's a delicate dance between two heterosexual men, and it takes two to tango. Well, I don't know why I said heterosexual. Who cares? Anyway, so that brings us to the next thing is wrestling. It's like Daniel Bryan, you didn't see this, Richie. Daniel Bryan and Biz, there's this talking smack on the SmackDown show is so awesome. Man, SmackDown is really cool. They had SmackDown had that running thing of Ziggler going after AJ Styles, even though I do wish Ziggler did win in that. I wish Ziggler, a main event of Ziggler, Ambrose, and AJ Styles. That triple threat sounds awesome. I mean, if you're working towards the Ambrose-AJ Styles match, you can get that later. But why not have the three of them? I don't know. I love that. But Ziggler kept coming back, and that's how Raw started. They started their beef. SmackDown starting their beef. I thought that was cool. But they have this thing called Talking Smack, which is basically like Talking Dead, you know, for SmackDown. And on there, Daniel Bryan is the GM, and he's like a big indie wrestler, you know, like everybody knows. And he had Miz on there, and Miz was defending the IC title. Just being like, why are you introducing all these new belts, which is how a lot of us feel, when you have the Intercontinental Championship, which is a lineal, you know, a title has incredible history, which was part of Miz's point. Why is this not pushed? And then Daniel Bryan's because, well, I don't know how to put this. You wrestle like a coward. And this felt like a shoot. This felt super real. And The Miz definitely took it real. He said, you wrestle in that soft WWE style. Like you're trying to not get hurt. And it's like, I don't. And The Miz went off. And they had like what felt like a real fight. Now, look, I could be getting worked. Who knows? Regardless of I'm getting worked, the conversation was real. That's how Daniel Bryan feels about Miz. Miz is like, I've been here over 10 years. I have zero injuries. Now, he's like, Daniel Bryan, look at you. You wrestled so hard, you had to retire at 34 years old. And then you hung it up. And then it's like, well, he's like, well, they told me if I could have wrestled, I'd do it. He's like, well, why don't you go back to the bingo halls that you used to wrestle in? You could have wrestled there. They take you back there. And it was a really awesome heated dispute. Now, between two people I respect a lot. How do I feel about this information? I'm conflicted because I agree about The Miz. The Miz is a boring in-ring wrestler. Incredible on the mic, deserving of an Intercontinental Championship. The work he's doing with Maurice is dope. But on the in the ring, I snooze during his matches. I've said it. I've been vocal about it. I don't like his wrestling. So Daniel Bryan is correct there. He's right there. He wrestles really hard. But at the same time, it's like, do we want to promote that wrestlers getting hurt and wrestling super hard? Like, do we want Finn to win the championship and the next day get hurt because there's this like new level of where you have to wrestle? You have to wrestle that hard. I don't really know the answer to it. Does everything need to be PWG spot fest to like crazy shit where the audience is going holy shit all the time? I mean, there's a big story element of wrestling that's big where it's like, you know, a lot of wrestling isn't the in-ring stuff. And Miz wears a crown on that. He's incredible. He's amazing on the microphone, amazing character. And maybe he's not that. So I don't know why Daniel Bryan judging him. And then I also feel like Daniel Bryan came in and was like, oh, I'm the GM. Like, it's going to be all about the talent. And he's kind of selling out the talent on there. So I just feel like maybe there's a space for all these kind of wrestlers. Now, I've heard Miz, when you dive, he doesn't catch you. That's a problem, wrestlers have to catch each other. If you're a wrestler, you have to take those kind of bumps. But I don't know. Maybe the wrestling is getting is hitting a point where maybe it is going to get too dangerous. I'm not an expert on that. I know I watched a documentary about the half pipes of like the extreme games and stuff. Talking about how these pipes have gotten so big and the heights these guys are jumping is so dangerous that, like, you know what I mean? Like, as the sport is developed, where it's like, well, there has to be a limit here. It's not fun when people kill themselves. It's cool they do awesome stunts, but also we all love it. I really don't know. I know I'm going back and forth. There's that whole documentary about all this traumatic brain injury that guy got, who was supposed to be as good as Shaun White. Kevin Pierce, I think his name was. He was supposed to be as, and you know, he hit his head because he was trying to do an extra flip or something, trying to jump a little higher. And then he's like a 20-year-old guy who like can't even speak properly. Daniel Bryan's retiring at 34. Finn's hurting himself. Orton's cracking his head open. I don't know how much is too far. We're going to hit that place soon. So if Miz can get over without wrestling and stay healthy, and he also gets over where he's the WWE sees he's the IC champion, maybe we shouldn't shit on that guy. Like, maybe it's okay that he's not the most dangerous in-ring wrestler. I don't know. How do you feel, Richie, about that? I mean, I'm speaking stuff that's not really stuff you analyze. You analyze A-Rod and the Yankees. But.
Well, traditionally, athletes are getting bigger and bigger and stronger, and they're hitting each other harder and harder, and the injuries are getting worse and worse. I mean, if you look at football, I would say the future, they might not be football.
Right.
Because these guys are killing each other. And when their career is over, they have brain injuries et cetera, et cetera. That's and you can relate to that. It's all
right.
Everything's relatable. Athletes they're eating better, they're training better, and they're bigger. We're getting bigger and bigger. Americans,
yeah.
Look at the size of the athletes today.
It's insane. And you should see some of I haven't even showed you some of what's going on in indie wrestling. A lot of these moves are like WWE bans them, what they're doing. These guys are doing stuff where like they're gonna die in front of my face. I go to this show in Reseda. The next time you're in town, that it overlaps, you'll love it.
Well, since when was 6'2" short? 6'2".
Yeah.
Since when did that become short?
You know, in wrestling, it's interesting. Heights mattering less and less. It's all about what these guys are capable of and how dangerous they're willing to go and how much they're pushing their abilities. But also, they're more athletic because they're smaller guys. They're not just big bodybuilders. But like. I'll show you some of the stuff I'm talking about. But I don't know. I don't know how I felt about that. And also, look, those two guys probably walked off camera, shook hands, and was like, wow, we just sold something. You know, like we just cut like a little bit of a pipe bomb moment here. But to me, Miz walked away as the victor of that exchange, if there needed to be one. Because Daniel Bryan telling a guy how he's supposed to wrestle, it doesn't come off. It's not a great way. If he's the leader and he's like, you know, it doesn't set that example when Miz is really pushing it as a character. He's doing it. Like, I don't know. I didn't like it. As a matter of fact, I don't know. Daniel Bryan, that's not even the first thing he did that I didn't like. He's done a couple things that I'm like, he's coming off a little bit pretentious. And, anyway. A couple other things happened, but I think we covered the main thing. I think the last thing we should cover is Shinsuke Nakamura becoming the NXT champion. Shinsuke is obviously super deserving. He's one of the biggest stars ever in Japan. And people love him here. He gets over with the crowd. I feel the same way about Shinsuke. It's like I get so blue-balled by him. His entrance is incredible. He's got the guy playing the violin live. I'm like, wow, amazing. He comes out, he looks pretty cool. He's moving in a cool way. He gets in the ring. And then his wrestling, then when he starts wrestling, it falls flat for me. I don't think all the knee stuff, the strong style, I don't know if that's strong style per se, but the knees don't look good to me on camera. They don't even sound good. They don't get the right pop of like a super kick where they snap. Like he's slapping guys on the back. I'm seeing him slap them on the back. His finishing move, the knee to the head, it's just like a super kick, but it's a knee. I like how he gets all jacked up for it. It looks cool, but maybe if that was the only knee he did, you know, I don't know. No, his in-ring work doesn't excite me. And then Samoa Joe is doing like a, basically a clinic on wrestling that I like. He does all these awesome moves. I like Samoa Joe a lot. I think he's cool. The fatter guy. That, Richie, you liked him?
He was a real wrestler. He that's a guy who could move up.
Yeah, I mean, like Muscle Buster, I've seen it for 20 years. I still get excited every time he does that Muscle Buster. That's what I'm saying. And then when AJ Styles gets in the ring, I go, okay, like, that's to me, that's the kind of wrestling I dig. Now, I know there's all different styles, so I try to appreciate it. But Shinsuke's in-ring style does not, it really does not do it for me. And I keep watching back, and I don't know. Again, I really want to like him. I really do. Everyone tells me he's rated the number one best wrestler on reputable charts.
Well, he certainly didn't show it.
Yeah, and my dad's sitting there just being like, this guy's not exciting, you know? My dad's seen enough wrestling to know, like, if I say this is the number one best wrestler, you should be able to see that.
I could understand why you want him to be great, because I wanted him to be great, because he's so cool.
He is cool. He's cool. He is cool. When he goes to, when he runs to the ropes and then he's just like, splays his arm and lays on the ring, and I love it. So, I don't know. I wish I liked Shinsuke more. I feel like it would give me, you know what, it would give me more credit. It would make me look cool. I know the number one guy, I like him, but I'm not going to be dishonest on this podcast.
He's got to show you more.
And I know a lot of people you out there agree with me, because you agree with me in private. But on the IWC, you do not have the bees to come out against him. Well, look, the testicular fortitude is right here.
He's got to show more. He's got to show more.
Yeah.
In the ring.
And he's already kind of older. So anyway, whatever. One last thing. Conor McGregor fight.
Oh, it was unbelievable.
Covered a little UFC.
One of the best things you ever could watch.
Yeah, that match was incredible.
Two guys with guts like I have never seen. Oh, my God.
Slugfest.
Oh, my God.
So, I think Conor McGregor, I mean, if that guy, if they were fighting at the same weight class, he was fighting guy's size, he would have knocked that guy, he would have knocked him out, like, way sooner. He's such a precision fighter. He's exciting. Conor McGregor is exciting. Even though he talked all that crap about WB guys, I was like, eh, fuck him, they'll all beat him up. And then I watched him box, and I was like, oh, this guy's the man.
Well, he has to
say whatever he wants.
He has to have that mentality. Yeah. But traditionally, when guys go up in weight, out of their weight class, they don't. They're not the same.
Yeah.
So put him in his own weight class. Nobody's going to beat him. Nobody. Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, cool. I think that sums it up. You have anything to add, Richie, about wrestling?
That's it.
No, that's
great.
It.
I enjoyed it.
Zig, anything to add?
It's much better.
Did you learn anything?
I'm looking at the pictures of Randy Orton's head split open.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's real or fake, but
it's real.
It's giving me nightmares.
Very, very real.
No, you can't.
Extremely real.
You can't make up that gash.
Orton's the man. Orton's the man for taking that. It's awesome that in wrestling you can lose and still win. It's what Mick Foley built his career on, and it's one of my favorite things.
Oh, that was can he like cut that beard a little bit?
Oh yeah, you didn't. You were not.
It's just a little much.
You're not going to tune it to Holy Foley, the show on the network.
I just think it's a little too much. Yeah. And it looks like he has a wig on too.
He does not though.
No,
no. You guys live near each other. You can bump into each other at the grocery store.
I probably have bumped into.
Yeah.
Probably in the Dunkin' Donuts.
I bumped into him at News 12. Yeah, the Dunkin' Donuts. That's a great place to end the podcast. All right, Richie, you got anything to plug? You want to plug your website?
RichardBlackStudio.com.
That's right.
Richard Black Studio, photographer.
Yeah,
Manhattan,
if you need a photographer,
New York City.
In Manhattan, Long Island area. Call my dad. He's the best photographer in the big. He's got an eye for wrestling. He's got an eye for your event. Now, rate and subscribe, everyone, to this podcast. Give us a 5-star review. If you disagree with me, write it in that review, but give 5 stars. If you agree with me, give 5 stars and agree with me. We need those 5 stars, baby. Give them to me. I'm a 5-star wrestler, dude. And you better come and give me my 5 stars before I stop a hole in your candy ass. Also, our show, August 19th, was a big hit at the UCB Theater. We're going to be posting awesome clips from it here on the show. We're going to figure out exactly how we're going to do that as we go forward.
What? That was the funniest show I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, thank you. We did the UCB Summer Slamtacular. We got our next show. I'm going to start plugging the show already. Is on my birthday. Is Friday at midnight, January 20th. Yes, January 20th at midnight at UCB. We're going to do the next one. Royal Rumble show. The UCB Royal Rumble Tacular. I don't know what the name is yet. But yeah, we're going to do it, and hopefully we'll have a bunch of WWE wrestlers there. We're going to have a Royal Rumble live at the UCB, on the UCB stage. That's going to be awesome. And you'll hear clips from our show here to get you jonesed up and excited for that. Cool. We had an actual real wrestling match. How did you feel about that at our show?
Oh, was those guys? I can't believe they wrestled like that.
Yeah.
On a stage. They killed each other.
Yeah, I know. Hot Young Briley, Ryan Namath. He retained his title against Draven.
It just makes, you know, as a novice, it just makes me appreciate wrestlers more and how crazy they are.
We had a dude jump on tacks. It was, like, insane. Right. We had a guy do a tack spot on the show. This show is insane.
Your audience was so into it. They were so great.
Yeah. All right. Well, you'll come. We'll talk. Well, the show will be dope. Come check it out. Yeah, and then you can follow us on Twitter at COW Podcast. And also, you can join our Facebook group, Comedians of Wrestling. We're having heated conversations on there literally 24 hours a day. So you can do it's a public group. You can join in and talk to us. All right. I feel like that's enough, right?
Absolutely.
All right. Keep watching wrestling. Kisses.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.